proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. I'm your host, Aaron Broughton, and it's a delight to have you with us today. And in studio is our good friend, Brother Dan. Welcome to the studio, Brother Dan.
Shalom.
Well, Dan, you are a Jewish believer doing some great things in the world of Jewish missions, and we just are excited to see what God is doing in your life. Well, Dan, one of the things that you were involved with IBJM just a few years ago was actually being a part of one of our mission trips. I believe you went to the Ukraine. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about your experience. First of all, what prompted you to even go on a mission trip in the first place?
Sure. Yeah, after being saved in 2007, I really desired just to share the truth that God had shown me. And so I had always had a desire to go overseas. And I had looked into different ways in which to do that. But God brought this missions trip across my path. Actually, IBJM had visited our local church there in Pennsylvania a few years before I even started going there. And so they were getting mailing distributions and things. And so as I was considering where to go, what to do, how to serve the Lord, the pamphlet came for the Ukraine missions trip. So I read about it. I considered a couple different things and really felt like that's where the Lord wanted me to go. And so I had called the mission board, asked about the trip, and I needed to get from Pennsylvania to Tennessee. And so as I called, I found there was another person that was also going on the trip. She had found out about it from Pensacola Christian College. And so we ended up carpooling down to Hickson. And through that, as well as serving the Lord, she would end up, long story short, she would end up being my wife.
Well, I just want to put a disclaimer that our mission trips aren't really meant to be a matchmaking service, but you never know what God is going to do.
Amen. But yeah, we got trained. IBJM shared a little bit about how to handle yourself in a foreign country, just a few things about the Russian language. And we were off on a plane. The trip we did that year was a bit different than what IBJM normally does. Normally it's more street evangelism and meetings and things like that. But our group was privileged to take 18 Ukrainian orphans. We took them out of the orphanage with another Ukrainian team there that we were working with. And we drove them. We didn't drive them. We took a good sturdy Russian train from Kharkov, Ukraine, down to Crimea, back when that still belonged to the Ukraine. And we're up in the mountains and just enjoyed a lot of outdoor hiking things and things like that. But the real things that were important and valuable opened up my heart and my eyes, as well as I believe was a blessing for the orphans, was the time of Bible study each morning, each evening, sharing of testimonies with one another, the singing together. And through that, there were quite a few of the orphans that some had gotten saved and some were committing themselves to really following the Lord in their lives.
Mm, that's terrific. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, good. Well, Dan, what would you say to someone? Obviously, God used that trip to propel you into full-time Jewish missions. But what would you say to someone out there who's maybe considering doing a mission opportunity like this?
Definitely take advantage of it. It requires a financial commitment and a time commitment, but God is greatly going to bless that. And you never know what doors God's going to open once you just surrender to Him, commit yourself to doing whatever He wants you to do. And it's been a great journey. Never saw it coming. Never saw the direction God was going to take me. But just kind of took that first step of trusting Him and going where He wanted me to go.
Amen. Well, that's a great testimony. And on that note, we just want to mention to our listeners that IBJM is actually hosting a couple trips, so one to New York City, one to Uruguay, and also to France next year, this coming summer, actually, of 2015. And if you'd like to have some information, just contact us here at IBJM. We'd be happy to get you in touch with the people running that. But, Dan, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks again for having me.
All right. Well, thank you also for listening. And remember to pray for Dan and pray for this ministry of IBJM. Now, with that in mind, let's now turn our attention to our good friend and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman, with today's Bible lesson.
Welcome back to our broadcast. We will resume our study about biblical roles and offices by looking at the duties of the Old Testament Levites. According to the 13th chapter of Exodus, God had originally selected all of the firstborn sons among the Jewish people as special servants of His. He reiterated that commandment in Exodus chapter 22. However, God did allow the Jewish people to redeem their firstborn sons with a price of money, as recorded in Exodus chapter 34. The tribute money mentioned by the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 17 might have referred to this levy. However, in Numbers chapter 3, God stated, quote, "I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine." As a group, members of the tribe of Levi had performed a special service unto God. As Moses ascended from Mount Sinai, he stood in the gate of the camp and issued a challenge, quote, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me," unquote. According to Exodus chapter 32, the sons of Levi responded to Moses' call. At his command, they went forth and killed almost 3,000 of their fellow Israelites. A Levite had a prescribed period of service. He could not begin to minister in the tabernacle until he had attained his 25th birthday. When he reached 50 years of age, his term of service ended. Why did Zacharias continue to minister in the temple as an old man, according to Luke chapter 1? Zacharias was not an exception to this rule because he served as a priest, not as a Levite. The Levites descended from the three sons of Levi, Gershon, Merari, and Kohath. When Moses took a census of the Israelites, as recorded in the early chapter of the book of Numbers, he included all three branches of that family. Eliasaph, the son of Lael, served as the head of the Gershonites. Moses subdivided that group into two smaller divisions, the sons of Libni and the sons of Shimei. That group totaled 7,500 people in Moses' first reckoning. He told them to pitch their tents westward of the tabernacle. Numbers chapter 3 detailed the nature of the Gershonites' duties. Quote, "The charge of the sons of Gershon of the tabernacle of the congregation shall be the tabernacle, and the tent, the covering thereof, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the court, and the curtain for the door of the court, which is by the tabernacle, and by the altar round about, and the cords of it for all the service thereof," unquote. Zuriel, the son of Abihail, headed the Merarites. Moses split them into two smaller groups, the Malites and the Mushites. His first census revealed that the Merarites numbered 6,200 people. They set up their tents north of the tabernacle. According to Numbers chapter 3, quote, "Under the custody and charge of the sons of Merari shall be the boards of the tabernacle, and the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and all the vessels thereof, and all that serveth thereto, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords," unquote. Elizaphan, the son of Uziel, served as the leader of the Kohathites. Moses' census listed 8,600 members of that family. He apportioned the Kohathites into four smaller divisions, the Amramites, the Izharites, the Hebronites, and the Uzielites. Note that according to 1 Chronicles chapter 6, Moses himself came from the lineage of Kohath through Amram, making him one of the Amramites as well. Numbers chapter 3 listed the responsibilities assigned to the Kohathites. Quote, "Their charge shall be the ark, and the table, and the candlestick, and the altar, and the vessels of the sanctuary wherewith they minister, and the hanging, and all the service thereof," unquote. The Levites had to receive consecration unto God's services, just as the priests needed. Moses first had to cleanse the Levites ceremonially. God instructed him to order the Levites to shave their bodies and to wash themselves. Moses then took a young bullock for a meat offering, fine flour mixed with oil, and another young bullock for a sin offering. Afterwards, according to Numbers chapter 8, God commanded Moses, quote, "Thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together, and thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord. And the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord," unquote. The Levites themselves needed to lay their hands upon the two bullocks in order to make an atonement for themselves. As with the priests, the Levites had several designated cities in which they could dwell. The 21st chapter of Joshua listed the names of these locales. The Gershonites received 13 cities in territories allotted to the tribes of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Manasseh. The Merarites obtained 12 cities, a portion from the inheritances given to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. The Kohathites received 10 cities, located in the areas occupied by the tribes of Dan, Ephraim, and Manasseh. Aaron's descendants, a subset of the Kohathites, obtained 13 cities and lands assigned to the tribes of Simeon, Judah, and Benjamin. Once a Levite left active service, he and his family could live in one of those cities. According to the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, quote, "The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them." Unquote. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, God specifically commanded the Jewish people not to forsake the Levites in their midst. When the Jews failed to do this, adverse consequences generally ensued. An incident recorded in the 17th and 18th chapters of the book of Judges will serve as an illustration. A traveling Levite came to the household of a man named Micah. When Micah asked the Levite about himself, the latter replied, quote, "I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place," unquote. Remember that the Levite was given no inheritance by God, according to earlier chapters of the Old Testament. Nonetheless, Micah hired that Levite to serve as a family priest, paying him 10 silver shekels per year and providing his clothing and his food. Sometime later, a contingent of men from the tribe of Dan came by Micah's household. They took the Levite with them as they traveled northward. When Micah protested, they asked him, quote, "Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that there be a priest unto the tribe and a family in Israel?" Unquote. The author of Judges chapter 18 noted that, quote, "The priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, and the teraphim, and the graven image, and went in the midst of the people." Unquote. Needless to say, that Levite had departed from the directed will of God. The Levites belonged to God, not to themselves. Therefore, they did not have the right to select their own employers or their venues of employment. This Levite had done that, and by so doing sinned against God. The Levites also served as assistants to the Jewish priests. They neither offered sacrifices themselves, nor did they exercise spiritual dominion over other Israelites. Nonetheless, Levites played important roles in the Jewish theocracy. Take, for example, the descendants of Korah. Korah himself was one of the Kohathites. Korah and his descendants ministered at the door of the temple and tabernacle. This might appear as a menial job in comparison with the work of, say, the high priest. Indeed, Korah, their ancestor of the Korahites, Korah led an unsuccessful rebellion against Moses and Aaron. Perhaps he sought a more prominent position than the one that God had assigned to him. The sons of Korah did not have the hard attitude of their ancestor. They wrote Psalm 84, in which they declared, quote, "I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness," unquote. The Korahites recognized that every task has significance when done unto the Lord. Or, as a certain other song puts it, little is much when God is in it. Most of the Levites recognized that and rejoiced that their service, no matter how insignificant it might seem, their service was being done in the will of God and for the benefit of God. This concludes our broadcast. We invite you to return for future Bible studies about the roles and offices in the Bible.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.